You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
This is the last week, the final week in this series. Ephesians 6:17 is where we're focusing. The last part of that, the first part says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which if you're not sure what that is, which is the word of God, just so that we're very clear on what Paul's talking about here. So it's the final session. As a recap, I felt, just so that you know, the armor of God was really important because our lives are impacted daily by our own actions, but also by the way the enemy attacks us. And actually, I think we relate to both of those things, because you can say, can't you, why do I do the stuff that I do? And I don't want to be doing the stuff that I do, but the stuff I do want to do, I don't do. And then equally, there are these little voices or these things that come in, or stuff just happens. And we feel sometimes we're in this place where we just go, I wish I could have a bit of peace. I think one of the scenarios I mentioned, I was talking to somebody else in another church, and they just said, I just feel life is utterly out of control sometimes. I get out of bed in the morning, and it's utterly out of control. And I've said this to you before, they mentioned this dripping tap in the bathroom. Well, by the time they actually got the dripping tap sorted out, it meant the whole bathroom was gutted, everything was done, and they decided to start afresh. I said, this is what life feels like sometimes. It's a dripping tap at the beginning of the day. It's a complete refit by the end of the day. Why do these things sometimes escalate? Why does all this stuff get taken away? Now, the reason why we're doing the armor of God is it followed on from our repurpose series, and the question kept coming up from lots of different places. How can I deal with the daily things that keep tripping me up, or the little things like I just mentioned that escalate into something bigger and out of proportion to the original small issue? And I believe Paul's description, the armor of God, I kept coming back to it. Wherever I was, God kept putting that in my mind. And I thought, this is something we need to look at. So I'm just going to do a really quick recap this morning. Just some of the highlights or the right hook, the takeaway that you took at the end of each message. And we started with the belt of truth. And the belt of truth is needed. And there's a thread going through all these this morning. Because Satan is known as the father of lies. He's the father of lies. He used to go into God's throne room, and what did he used to do? He used to go in, and he was called the accuser. He used to accuse people. He used to go in and say, this is what this person is like. He's not a nice fella. He's there to try and trip us up. He continually tries to deceive us and rob us of God's best in our lives. And I think he does that through lies. So the reason why the belt of truth was so important, if we don't know what the truth is to start with, we're on rocky ground. And the picture I had, if you remember, was the long frock or the dress. We can keep tripping over things. If your underpants are too big and you haven't got the belt of truth around, your underpants can fall down. You don't want to be walking out there with your underpants around your ankles. We need to have the stuff that is true strapped around us. We need to not be tripping over stuff and not be sent caught with our metaphorical underpants down when somebody says, well, how do you know what's true? What is true? Is it what you and I think, or is it what the Bible says? And if we don't know what the Bible says, then you and I end up with you think this and I think this. Who's going to win? Who's the best at arguing? And actually, I think when we saw Jesus with Satan, as they're reading, we'll pick this up a little bit in a minute, did Jesus try and find common ground? There was truth. Even when Satan grabs hold of the words, says, oh, well, okay, then it's written. And Jesus says, hang on a minute, it also says. The belt of truth is needed because Satan is a liar. The breastplate of righteousness is needed because Satan attacks essentially our vital organs. If you were actually in battle and they were trying to a knife through the heart, it's gonna not do you very good. Your organs are important. And it's the same here, that those spiritual vital organs include our heart and our minds. And actually, whatever we fill those with will shape our daily lives. When I said at the beginning, you know, it's important that our lives can be impacted by our own actions. James said it, we read it a minute ago. Actually, I sometimes think there's all these attacks of the enemy. Actually, it's just me. I'm broken. There's stuff in me. I can come up with some right tall tales. I don't need anybody to help me. I can do all that on my own quite well, thank you very much. So I need that breastplate of righteousness. What is in my heart? What is already there? And whatever's in your heart leaks out. Somebody said to me once, spend 2 minutes with somebody and don't say anything. How you doing? And wait. Whatever is in their heart in that moment will leak out. Whatever's in their heart leaks out. And the question is what is your heart full of? I've just been reminded of my friend Bert. Bert was so full of the Holy Spirit and so full of God, didn't matter where you were, Bert would tell you what God's just done in his life or recap something. You could be in the middle of Sainsbury's or wherever and you say, hey, Bert, how you doing? Oh, it's wonderful. Isn't God marvelous? And he just launch into praising God in the middle of Sainsbury's. And you're like, oh, why did I say good morning to Bert? And he was a wonderful man, but he's so full of the things of God. He just burst out wherever he was. He couldn't help himself. Are you like that when you see somebody in Sainsbury's? Or is it all the woes of, oh, well, actually, I climbed up a ladder and I shouldn't have been climbing up a ladder. And there you go. I'm picking on you in public now. Listen to your wife. but what is it? What are those things that we need to protect? What is our heart full of? And whatever our heart is full of, it comes out. That's why we need the breastplate of righteousness, because we need to protect our vital organs. The next one we went into was we need that footing of the gospel of peace. I came up with the phrase the footing, because it doesn't actually talk about sandals or shoes or boots or anything. It talks about the feet being shod. Not a word you use, but I was trying to look up for a different word of shod. Something that you put on your feet. What is your footing? It's the gospel of peace. And why, particularly with this piece of armor, we think it's, oh, we need good shoes so we can go on a good journey. But the picture is that these particularly Roman footwear, there were sandals, boots or whatever, would have had spikes on them because it meant they could stand firm. They didn't get pushed back. And Satan tries to knock us down. He tries to take away our peace. Satan tries to make us at war with God and also with people. And if you can remember back to that message, I said the gospel, this gospel of peace, it's not a one-time event. I think sometimes we can think of the gospel. I remember the day I heard the gospel, the good news, and it was a one-time event. But actually, we finished that message saying the gospel is so wonderful, that good news is so wonderful. I need to tell myself every day how wonderful that is. And there was a famous preacher that I quoted, and he was saying that actually the thing that transformed his life more than anything else was preaching the gospel to himself daily. Just reminding that good news is for me. And it's not for me back then when it happened and it's all different now. Every day, this gospel of peace is new. It's new for me today and I can claim that every day. And that starts to actually, the gospel starts to pull everything together. If we have truth and we fill our heart with it, if we stand firm with it, remembering that we're in a continual battle, I asked the question, can we take the armor off? No, we shouldn't take the armor off. I think when you look at the armor, you go, yes, I could take armor off, but would I really take truth out of my mind? Would I really say, oh, I'll fill my heart with anything? Would I really say, oh, well, the gospel, you know, it's what it was. It happened, but I don't really believe it anymore. I think when you ask, can you take the armor off? I think the answer, well, how could you possibly take the armor off if you really understood it? And part of our repurpose series was looking at guardrails. And I don't know if you remember back to some of the messages there, but one of the messages that we had was talking about friendships. And actually, if you think back to friendships, generally the people that have hurt you most in your life are the ones that you let get close to you. Think about that for a moment. The people that have hurt you the most are generally the ones that you let get close to you. Someone might say something to you in the street, but you go, whatever, carry on. But those that got close to you, those are the ones that hurt you. We use a phrase, don't we? I let my guard down. I thought it was very interesting. I let my guard down and that person came too close and they hurt me. Now, it's not that we have all these walls and barriers. We're not talking about that. But we're having sensible places where we say, I've got boundaries. And if you remember back to the guardrails message, we said on a road, there's a guardrail or that central reservation or that crash barrier, and it's in the safety zone. And if I hit that, yeah, okay, I might do a bit of damage, but I'm still in the safety zone. I didn't go over the edge and end up in a difficult place. This is why the gospel of peace is so important. This is why truth is so important, because we might crash into stuff, but actually we stay in the safety zone. We don't get a, where are your guardrails? That brings us on to the shield of faith, and we are getting there. Wait for it. Shield of faith. Worries and doubts will constantly chip away at us. It's not true for the Christian, is it? Worries and doubts will constantly chip away at us. Of course they do. That's why the Bible talks so much about it. And I think of these as arrows. Worries and doubts, they're arrows. They're the things that can come in, and they're almost like a one-time. They land quite quickly. Arrows, once it's landed, it's done its job. It's landed. But a flaming arrow, and the point of the flaming arrow was, not only does it land, but when it lands, it can explode, it can splatter, it can spread, it can set other things on fire. And we need to put those little fires out. We need to put those things out. If we relate it to our imaginations, I don't know if you're one of these people, we spoke about this, where your imagination, you have that one small thought, and you turn it into a complete story or a complete film in your mind. You know, we did it, well, I know Nikki, I can pick on you this morning, can't I? But if Jazz was to go off and do something, Nikki would go, oh, she'll be all right, won't she? I mean, it's not like she's going to, oh, well, then, of course, then, oh, blah, blah. And before I know it, Nikki's going, I've got this whole thing, like this whole story. It's like I made the most epic movie ever. And then it goes round and round and round in your head, and you end up in this place, and it's almost like a little thought came in. Didn't take it captive, and suddenly it spreads in this wildfire, and it can completely ruin your day. You know, the daughter walks in through the door and you go, you know, you're alive. And it's like, well, yeah, I just went out to get a loaf of bread or whatever it was. And it's like, do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you don't know where I've been. We're like that. You're not like that. Maybe a little bit. Okay. I wouldn't tell anybody in public. You're all right. But we're all like that to a degree, aren't we? We can have those thoughts and they come in. And that's why the helmet of salvation was so important last week. We separated these down on a week-by-week basis. But the reality is that this is the whole armor. We need the whole lot on. So the helmet of salvation is there to protect our minds. It can all too easily get distracted by the father of lies. That fiery arrow lands. If we didn't have our shield up and it lands in our mind, we can go off into one of those scenarios we just said. And we're either crippled by fear or we're led down a path that sometimes leads us to sinning. And actually, when we realise we've done something wrong, we go, oh, it wasn't my finest moment, but actually I'll tell a lie about it and then no one will know and no one will find out. And suddenly it gets worse and worse. And we've all been there and we didn't mean to do it. But we get crippled, and ultimately we can make the whole situation worse. And what we said last week was we need to be set free by the renewing of our minds. We need to be careful who or what it is that we're listening to. I loved seeing somebody walk in this morning, and they had their phone going, and it's going, oh, happy day, and they're walking into church with their phone going. I'm thinking, that's wonderful. Have they been listening to that from their house, to their car, to the church? What are we filling our minds with? One of the things I said last week, and someone came up to me after and said, you know, I hadn't thought about this. It was so simple and so easy, and I haven't been doing it. I haven't been taking those little thoughts captive. As soon as they've landed, I haven't taken it captive and gone, ugh, don't be stupid, I know where this goes. You know, taking that thought captive in that moment and saying, you're not going any further. And they said, it's so easy and so obvious, but I don't do it. And that's why that helmet of salvation is important. Put out the fires, those little arrows, the little things that come in our mind, snuff them out. Don't let them go any further. It will rob you of your peace. The gospel, we've said, is something we can preach daily. It's called the helmet of salvation. Salvation, I believe, isn't a one-time event either. Yes, it happens. Yes, it's taking place. But it says we are daily working our salvation out with fear and trembling. This is something that is continual. Yes, we've got it from day one, but we work it out. We are continually being saved. And if you realize you're continually in a battle, you'll then realize where you need to be continually saved. Because it isn't like I got it right. Life is good. I've given my life to God. I said, I'll follow you and everything is going to be easy. If you ask some Christians, they say, do you know what? I gave my life to God and it got a little bit tougher because there's somebody that didn't want me in that place. But when you get hold of God's word, and when you hear the truth, which is what we're going to talk about very briefly this morning, The sword of the Spirit is God's word. We need to fill our hearts and our minds with this. Now, you can say, that's great. How simple is this, Darren? Well, actually, I'll put a few points down. God's word, it's written down so we can read it. Now, I don't know how difficult that is. I wasn't a reader. Before I became a Christian, I'm just not a reader. Give me a Haynes manual. Give me something to build. Give me a diagram. Love it. But to sit down and read, I was just like, oh, what's this about? But when I saw God's word and saw the truth, I just went, why has nobody ever told me this? I did all this stuff at school, quadratic equations. I learned physics, geography. Nobody ever sat down and gave me the word of God and said, have a read of this. It was so simple and so exciting. God's word, it is true. Do you believe that? It's true. And if it's true, then we can build our lives with it or around it or on it, whichever way you want to look at it. God's word is powerful. Do you believe it's powerful? God's word is powerful. When we say it, we've read it, looked at our reading, and we'll pick this up in a minute, the enemy will flee. It is also something as a weapon in our hand that we can attack the father of lies with. Now, whether you've got a Minecraft sword like this, and I know you're all jealous and want to go and buy one later, but actually taking that sword and actually saying, now, hang on a minute, that's a lie, and I'm going to cut it down. Where do you ever do that? And part of this, I suppose, with this morning, the kids talk, is I want you to see, cut that down. Where can you say, hang on a minute, I'm not sure about that. Let me cut it down. We live in a world with the internet nowadays where you can type and Google all sorts of things in. If you've got a question, type it in, put Bible, God's word, truth, whatever it's offered, and you'll find some amazing resources online that helps you press in and cut this thing down. Take that thought captive, cut it down, see what the word of God says, and remember that. And God's word is, it's wonderful, and there's so much. And we're not necessarily called to remember it all. It'd be wonderful if we could remember it all. But we're all so unique and we'll all have such different battles that actually those words, those ones that you come back to time and time again, where you can say, it is written, is so key. God's words, written down, it's true, it's powerful. It's something that we can use. But I've doing some research on this. One of these chaps said, but as Christians, do we really believe it? The sad truth is no. One of the things that's been said to me a number of times as a pastor is, as far as God's word is concerned, is, well, we haven't been taught that yet, which implies the pastor, it was the pastor's job or a teacher or whoever it was, to have taught you everything about God's word. But actually, Hebrews has something to say about this. Hebrews 5, 11 to 14, if you want to look this up. Hebrews 5, 11 to 14. It says this, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, I don't want to quote that out of context there, but it's just saying, come on, some of you guys should be mature by now. But you don't pick up your word, you don't read your Bibles, and what do you expect? You don't know what God's word says. It's not a criticism, it's just a very simple fact. If you don't read it, you won't know about it. Are you still doing? And I suppose I had to be very careful with how I put this stuff down. You can have your holy horoscope type readings. Now, there's nothing wrong with word of the day. There's nothing wrong with having the nice little story because you remember the nice little story, but you probably end up telling people the nice little story and not actually having God's word in your hearts. And I think part of what we need to do is we need to press into God's word just a little bit more. You see, the challenge this morning is no one else can put the armor on for you. In a sense, it's your armor. It's made specially for you. And you will either use it or you won't. While we're encouraged to teach each other and encourage one another, we're to pick up God's word and read it for ourselves. Just as an example, I know last year when we were fasting, some folk who've been here for quite a few years told me they've never been taught how to fast. But in reality, I asked a couple of those folk, do you know the Lord's Prayer? And they say yes. And then it's like, what does the very next line say? And the very next line doesn't say, if you fast, it says, when you fast. So we've got the Lord's Prayer. Lord, teach me how to pray. Well, praying comes with fasting. And a couple of folks said, well, I haven't been taught on that yet. Or actually, when we fast, they say, I've done that once. What do I do next? Well, you can read the Lord's Prayer again and you can fast again if you want. You know, if there's a bit of a pattern here that's going on. And again, it's not a criticism, but maybe some of us are just still on milk. We haven't got to that stage where you pick God's word up and read it for yourself and say, I'm going to press into that. What is God saying to me? Because the thing is, if we've got this armor on, if we recognize we're in a battle and I'm going to stand up to Satan's attacks, I need to learn how to use my sword of the Spirit. God's word, at the very least, I need to read it. But more so, we need to meditate on it, thinking about what it says, remembering it and studying it. Our reading this morning was taken from Matthew 4, and Jesus was tempted after fasting for 40 days. How did Jesus deal with Satan? Did he reason with him? Did he come to some middle ground? Was he conscious in keeping everybody happy? Was he tolerant? It's a word that gets bantered around. Was he tolerant of the things on offer? You see, what Jesus did in that moment, even when God's word was given back to him, Satan says, but it's written. Jesus said, hang on a minute, no, let me cut that down. This is what the word says. And the thing is, there's different types of God's word, and I'm going to read a couple of quotes I've got to you here. It's Paul's description of what this sword is about. Now, this wasn't a big broadsword. It's probably a pretty good size, actually. It was either between 6 or 18 inches long. It was a short sword. It was a stabby, stabby sword, double-edged sword, not a big broadsword that you had to swing around. The Greek term is word. John MacArthur says this, looking at the Greek term for the word of God that's mentioned there in Ephesians. It says this, the term Paul used here for word is not logos, which refers to general statements or messages, but rhema, which refers to individual words or a particular statement. The Apostle Paul, therefore, is not talking about general knowledge of Scripture, but is emphasizing again the precision that comes by knowledge and understanding of specific truths. And there's another chap, James Boyce, adds this. He says, while logos embraces nearly everything, logos word, rhema has a slightly different weight. It means a saying. In this case, a particular or specific portion of God's written revelation. John 3:16 is rhema. Romans 3:12, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, is rhema. And so on. It says, for all other specific portions of the written word of God. It's important to see this, as I said, because according to Paul's teaching, we are to overcome Satan by the particular words or portions of Scripture. Now, has everybody here read through the Bible? Yeah, a number of times. Just interesting timing. It takes about 12, if you took 12 minutes a day to read the Bible, which is average reading speed, in 365 days, you'll read through the whole Bible. 12 minutes a day, and you'll be through the whole Bible. Now, I don't know what you do for 12 minutes a day. Think of something you maybe do for 12 minutes a day. That is, you can have a cup of tea, a bit of breakfast. Yeah, what did Jesus say? Man cannot live on bread alone. If it takes you 12 minutes to make your breakfast, but actually we're saying, I cannot live on bread alone. There's something more important to me than just my breakfast, and I've never read the Bible through. Here's a challenge. What's more important, your breakfast or the Word of God? Now, I'm not telling you all to go and skip your breakfast. That'd be ever so mean. But just a reality check. If you say you love God and his word is so important, 12 minutes a day for 1 year, you'll have read through the Bible. It's good to ask yourself a question. What's more important to you? Read it. Read the word of God. Meditate on it. Chew the cud. Who's heard that phrase, chew the cud? When you think of chewing the cud, which animal do you think of? Yeah, we all think of a cow, don't we? But actually, it's a ruminant animal, and there are other ruminant animals. Does anybody else know what other ruminant animals there are? Yeah. Who said it? Sheep. Yeah. And it's quite interesting. We talk about cows, don't we? But actually, Jesus talks about sheep quite a lot. Sheep belong to the ruminant classification of animals. They are characterized by their four-chamber stomach. I think I'm working on that myself. And chewing the cud behavior. And cud, oh, this is gorgeous, this is. Yeah, let's put you off your breakfast. Cud is food bolus that is regurgitated, re-chewed, and then re-swallowed. There's a few people going, yeah, lovely, isn't it? But actually, God's word should be like that. We need to chew it over. You might initially hear it and go, whoa, that's amazing. But we then need to regurgitate it. We need to chew it over. We need to think about that. We need to press into it. Believe it, not necessarily test it, but believe it. Do not put your Lord God to the test, Jesus said to Satan. God's word, it's so important. Apply it. Use it daily. Make it your master. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. If we don't live under the authority of his word and follow it, then you'll be listening to a different authority. And actually, if you listen to the news or the conversations of today, there's many things that sound plausible, they sound kind, they sound loving, that lovely tolerant word again. But remember, Jesus wasn't tolerant of Satan. He told him, it is written, this is the things of God, get behind it or get out. And Satan fled from him. So why do we need to put the whole armor on? Why did I think this was so important? Because guys, I want us, as we finish this series, to say, I want to go back and I want to think about those things. You know, go back, and if you, for this next week, I don't know what you're doing in your quiet time, but just read through that armor of God and chew it over, regurgitate it. How can I stand firm and stop being knocked down with some of the things in my life? Understand and call out the enemy's tactics. Be prepared to block, which is what they used to do with that little short sword or with the shield. Block and fight back. Stand firm. Stand firm with God's word. Stand firm with whose you are. You belong to him. Stand firm so that others may see God at work and be saved. If we don't stand firm, other people will look and say, well, I don't know. It's a bit of a crutch, their faith, but it ain't very good, because when the storms come, they're all flaky. You know, where is this God when it gets tough? That God's there when it's fine, but when it gets tough, where is he? Stand firm. Because the aim of our lives is not health and wealth and a long life. Some might be blessed with that, some might not say that's a blessing, where you look at it. There are things in this world that says you need. And actually, that's that third temptation, isn't it? You know, you could have the whole world, but instead, when you understand the promise of things to come, it's so much more rewarding. You actually find yourself free of the trappings of this world, and we can live our lives more complete as a result. Put on the full armor of God. It's not heavy, it's not uncomfortable. Don't take it off. Be on guard. Stand firm and cut your enemy down to size. I'll close with this. The end of our reading in Matthew 4. Jesus resisted the devil and he fled from him. And then we read, the angels came and tended to him. This is a certain hope. It may be physically hard sometimes to stand firm. There might be all sorts of temptations that are offered, but we need to remember that Satan is only out there to rob us of our relationship with God and our eternity with him. But if you and I have got that eternal guarantee already, then we just need to stand firm with that. Don't let him rob you of that. Don't listen to a father of lies that says, this is not for you. There's a world that needs to hear the good news. The truth of what God is saying to all of us now that builds our faith. We need those rhema words, those ones that we speak truth into. To have faith, I have a now relationship with God. And I don't just know some words in the Bible. I know what it says. And therefore, I can actually speak those out in a grand way. Look how good I am. I know all these Bible references. But words that are sword in our hands, that when the enemy comes, that we can say, hang on a minute, that's not true. This is what it says. I'll finish with this. Church, arise. We're going to sing the song. Church, arise. Put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ. We need to stand firm. Speak his word boldly and confidently. When faith comes, when we have faith, power comes. And with power comes the victory. So church, arise. Let's stand firm with God's word. Put on the full armor of God. Don't be kicked around and tossed back and forth. It is written. Grab all of those words in your hand and let's go and be bold for Christ. Let's go and see some souls saved.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.